Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
What kind of leads it to, you know, you being very relaxed, it's a long series, you're not too worried about that, and then you're shooting, is that just something like you figure it's just a fluke game and won't happen again going forward?
I mean, whether you win every game at home, you still want to win one on the road. In our history, we've always won one on the road, so, you know, it's just nothing to panic about, you know, just... It's the first team to win four games, not the first to win one. So I think that's where the confidence comes from, is just understanding that. And as far as the shooting, are you talking about me personally or us as a team? Oh, yeah. I mean, I missed some bunnies. My threes felt good. So, you know, I'll continue to stay aggressive. They'll fall. But, you know, tonight they didn't.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
No. Jared. More juice. Turn it up. It's the playoffs.
Welcome to the NBA Daily Ding
on the Athletic NBA Show.
Wide open Smart. Cash! And the Celtics have stormed ahead. This insurrection has them leading by 11.
Ding, ding!
How about we can just watch basketball?
I like that idea.
Welcome to the Daily Ding. I'm your host, Andrew Schlecht, and with me tonight is my good friend, Mark Schindler. Mark, it's game one of the NBA Finals, and they say a series doesn't start till someone wins on an opponent's floor. Well, this series has begun. The Warriors' home crowd leaves furious and bewildered at the Celtics 120-108 win in Chase. In what I would like to call a tale of two quarters. That's the third and the fourth quarters. Mark, what happened in this fourth quarter?
Man, Jason Tatum, his passing vision was incredible, I thought. You know, he really struggled throughout this game for reasons we'll get into. But, you know, credit to him, man. I think it sounds reductive to bring it down just to one series, but I felt like this game was a real encapsulation of so much of what he really improved on this year, and that's just seeing the court, finding the open man. Huge, huge game from tonight. And then Al Horford. I mean, Al was just... It felt like Al scored everything in the fourth quarter, man.
So, the Celtics are down 10 to start the fourth quarter. I mean, it's 82-92. To start the fourth quarter, and they absolutely dominate the fourth quarter, end up winning this game by 12. It was a blowout. I mean, by the end of it, I mean, they emptied the benches. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you would have told me, hey, Andrew, the end of this game is going to be a complete blowout at the beginning of the fourth quarter, I'd be like, yeah, sure. You know, Steph Curry's probably got another, you know, first quarter flurry in him. And the Celtics, not only offensively with Tatum's passing and the shot making from, I mean, huge credit to Derek White. He had an unbelievable awesome game tonight. 6 of 11 from the field, 5 of 8 from 3, 25 points, 3 assists. And the way that he defended Steph, sans the, you know, after the first quarter, man, you have to just be on cloud nine. I don't know how many more of those Derek White games you're going to get, but the fact that you got one, Because that was one of the storylines heading into this, is that you're going to be able to leave Derek White. Peyton Pritchard's not going to be able to stay on the floor. Like, shouts to Peyton Pritchard for the way he played on both ends tonight, because the lineups that were out there played pretty well. He's a plus eight on the night, or a plus 14 on the night. My bad. He had 8 points, a plus 14 on the night. Just a really, really fun game from the Celtics, a fun fourth quarter.
Yeah, I mean, you really hit it on the nose with Derek. I thought, you know, he had really good moments in the Heat series, but like you mentioned, it ebbed and flowed. There were some moments where you're like, I don't know. But tonight, I mean, 5 of 8 from deep was all you needed to say. I mean, his aggression was huge, especially early in the game. It felt like with how much Tatum was struggling and just some of the woes that the Celtics had in general, he was one of the few guys who really looked good early in the game. So, again, credit to him. And the defense, like we'll get into more of, he was so good chasing off the ball. Yep. Something I wrote about last week. I could go as wild as saying that he's probably the best off-ball chaser in basketball. It's close to it, man. Like him and Mikal Bridges,
yeah.
His ability to just stay staple to somebody, even though he gets run through a million screens, was awesome. Awesome performance from him tonight.
So the Celtics win the fourth quarter 40-16. I think there was like 17-0 run to end the fourth quarter. After the third quarter, I thought, okay, this is done. This is a signature Warriors third quarter. I was like, man, I don't know how you can survive giving up 38 points in the third quarter. Well, the reason the Celtics survived is they put up 40 in the next quarter, but they won 38-24 in the third quarter. And it wasn't like the first quarter where it was like all Steph. It was just team basketball. This is kind of what the Warriors have hung their hat on all season, is that it's not about Steph. It's not about Clay. This is about collectively what we can do as a team. And to me, the third quarter run from the Warriors kind of started with Kevon Looney, because he was able to get offensive rebound after offensive rebound when their offense really wasn't cooking, and getting those second chances got them the lead that they had until it slipped away. But, you know, I think if Kevon Looney can continue to be impactful on the boards, I think that the Warriors are going to have a really good chance to win the series.
Yeah. I mean, he completely outplayed Rob Williams tonight, in my opinion. Like you mentioned, just six offensive rebounds. A lot of that was on Rob Will. I thought, especially after the first quarter, the Celtics defense really tightened up, even in that third quarter, like you're mentioning. But they were so good at getting stuff out of second chance points, which especially for, you know, not that they're that much smaller than the Celtics, but the Celtics still have pretty decent size across the board compared to where Golden State is coming from. Their ability to really flex that was huge, especially, I mean, Draymond had 3 offensive boards too. That was killer. And I think, you know, Rob had some good moments, but also what the Celtics did in tinkering with their defense throughout the game was really interesting. You know, starting Rob Williams on Andrew Wiggins, that did not work. I don't know if we're going to see that again the rest of the series, but nevertheless, it was worth a shot because Andrew Wiggins absolutely eviscerated that, credit to him. But I think that's going to be some really interesting stuff to follow throughout the game. And, I mean, again, we can sit here and Golden State lost, but the amount of times that the Celtics were willing to come out and play drop was perplexing. And a lot of that was with Rob on the floor. So I don't know. It was interesting. But like you mentioned with Golden State, I think like Otto Porter, that was another thing where, like, once you get Steph, what he did in that first quarter, then the way that the Celtics adapt and start really trying to completely, you know, neutralize him as much as they can, and what he opens up with his off-ball movement, like, I mean, everybody just gets open. It's so hard to contain that with your scramble, even if you are playing well. And I think that's what a lot of the third quarter was to me.
Mm-hmm.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Back to the fourth quarter. It all kind of started with Jaylen Brown, who just stayed aggressive. At times it looked great. At times it was didn't look so great as he drives in, doesn't really have anywhere to go with the basketball. But his aggression at attacking and getting to his jump shots was huge for them. And not only Tatum's passing, who finished with 13 assists, only two turnovers. I thought Brown had some nice passes as well that really got his teammates open. And then to me, the leadership and aggression of Marcus Smart too. He wasn't on the court for the beginning of that big run that the Celtics made. But to me, like every minute that he played was impactful. He just played with such aggression to start the game where if you're watching the game at the beginning, I thought, man, the Warriors are just dominating. If you just block the score. And a lot of times I was watching with my kids. And so my kids were literally blocking the score at times. You just would think like, oh, the Warriors are probably up 12. And you look up, you're like, how are the Warriors only ahead by 4 points? Like, what's going on here? And to me, a lot of that was Marcus Smart, who just, he was ready for the moment. And when the Celtics defense was actually quite horrendous to start this game. And they were leaving Steph Curry wide open multiple times to get that game started. Like, you're getting him into a rhythm. Like, what are you doing? Like, this is the NBA Finals. You can't do this. This isn't February. Like, you got to get this going. And to me, Marcus Smart was really the engine that kind of kept the Celtics engaged and in this game.
Yeah, no, I think he really hit the nail on the head. It was so interesting watching him because he really felt like he was forcing it to start the game to a degree. I think he was 0-3 from 3 to start the game, a couple of pull-ups that were like a little bit ill-advised, but the whole team was taking just random jumpers. But like you mentioned, I mean, he had that like around the world behind the back finish into a floater. Like he felt like the only guy who could get going anything into the paint outside Derek White until that fourth quarter. And like you mentioned defensively, I thought that mic'd up that he had during the timeout in the first
quarter.
That
was best mic'd up the best in the history of mic'd up, right?
Exactly. That was like the only one we've ever gotten that's actually informative and not scrapped clean. So it was that was fantastic.
Yeah. He said something about how this isn't the Heat.
Yeah.
Like you can't, you know, drop back. You got to play up on him. And then, I mean, it was so, so good.
Come on, Jay. Me and you, Jay. Switch it. Get to the bodies. Post up. Go, Jay. This isn't the Heat series. We can't start back. You have to start up, especially if they setting it so high. You start up and drop because we're chasing. Now he goes down into the paint. Right there. There it is.
That was really, really awesome to hear that. Jason Tatum, just an absolutely miserable night. I think we've praised him some. Like, his defense was phenomenal. His passing was phenomenal. Man, he couldn't hit anything. He was 3-17 from the field tonight. The Celtics shot 50%. They were 50-51-81 tonight on shooting splits. And it's not like the Warriors were that bad. They were 44-42-73. Like, both shot the ball well. Not a lot of free throws. That was another thing about this game, is like the flow was tremendous. Whether it was the Warriors having a big run or the Celtics having a big run, like, there, a lot of people expected this game to kind of get in the mud a little bit just because of the quality of defense that both teams play, but it never really did. There was never like a free throw battle here. It was just, to me, it was an entertaining game start to finish because of a lot of the shot making. But if you're the Celtics, a lot of people are going to point to the fact that you're not going to get a good game like this one from, you know, the shooting that you got from Al Horford tonight, you know, 6 of 8 from three. You're not getting that again. But I would also say you're probably not going to get 1 of 5 from three from Tatum and 3 of 17 from Tatum. I just think that this game one really bodes very, very well for the Celtics and the way that it unfolded.
Yeah, 100%. And I will say, though, some stuff I want to watch out for that I'm interested to see moving forward. A large reason for why he struggled was how well Golden State was able to really just hug everything that they were switching to make sure Jason couldn't get downhill, especially like early on. I think you saw Kevon Looney get switched onto him at least 5 or 6 times in the opening few minutes, and held his own really well, as we've seen him do time and time again. But I think it's more just like having the size that they do, and the ability that they have to flatten out everything that they do through their switching and just keeping things in front was really impressive. And I think that really is going to be something I'm interested to see how the Celtics try and counter some of that in game two to get Tatum some easier looks, get him downhill more. You know, whether or not, like, it felt like tonight it was a lot of Tatum running the offense compared to, you know, what we're used to with Marcus Smart running the offense. Obviously, Derek White took over more later. I would be interested to see how much that's going to change. But the other thing too, Grant Williams really struggled tonight. Not necessarily entirely his fault, but like the Golden State was very clearly like, okay, we want to get him and then run him through as many screens as possible. And he really struggled to keep up with that. That's not really his game. Offensively wasn't really there either. So that's going to be interesting as well, especially considering how good he was against the Heat.
Yeah.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
On Golden State's side, you know, Steph Curry had a historic first quarter, had six three-pointers, set a finals record for most threes made in a quarter that was set previously by himself and by Ray Allen and Kenny Smith. He was tremendous for the most part through the first three quarters. Draymond Green, I thought, obviously he defends well. He ended up fouling out, but just couldn't make anything. He tried to be pretty aggressive. He took 12 shots tonight, which is kind of out of his character, but he was trying to stay aggressive and shots weren't falling for him. What adjustments can Golden State make? Are there any adjustments within the rotations? Like, we got to see some Andre Iguodala tonight, which I didn't really expect to see. There's no GP2 tonight. What can they do moving forward?
Yeah, I think, I mean, Clay having a better game would help. 6 of 14, like, looks really nice on paper, but I thought, you know, some of the jumpers he took and just shots in general, I was a little bit like, it didn't feel super in the flow of the offense. There was a little bit of ball stopping. I think that'll be interesting to see how that cleans up moving forward. Obviously, getting Jordan Poole going is going to be essential. I thought, you know, especially like you mentioned Marcus Smart earlier, he was really, really damn good on Jordan Poole tonight. Finding more ways to get him open will be important. Finding ways to make sure that Draymond isn't having to take as many shots as he did will be huge too. It felt like the Celtics really did a good job, especially like that's, you know, as they got back into the game more in the second, I say back in the game, they were down four going in the second quarter, but like, you know, as things really unraveled in the second quarter to get them to where they had a lead at halftime, it felt like we saw so much of Draymond having to create things on the short roll. And obviously he's capable of doing that. He's a good passer, but you know, with how much the ball was getting back into his hands, especially four shots from deep, I'm going to be interested to see how that changes up.
Yeah, this is already an absolutely fascinating series because you know that the Warriors have more left in the tank and more to give here. I do wonder about the Jordan Poole minutes and what those will look like, because if the Celtics are able to match Smart and Poole's minutes to a degree, like, you, it absolutely neutralized him. I mean, he's a minus 19 tonight. It looked that bad at times.
Yeah, you know? He really struggled defensively.
Yes, defensively, his shot wasn't falling. He's 1 of 5 from three. He had that three to end the half where it hit the top of the backboard. It was not Jordan Poole's night, but there's going to be a Jordan Poole game. Like, I just fully expect there to be a game where he shakes loose and the Warriors probably get a win because of that. So, Mark, that's going to do it for today's show. Stay tuned for Nerder, She Wrote with our guy Dave DeFore. Mark, send us out.
Ding, ding, y'all.
Wide open, Smart. And the Celtics have stormed ahead.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.